Mitch, almost 2 weeks of camp in the books at this point. Is there been anything that has caught you off guard? Anything that surprised you that you didn't expect to see from this team?
I think the rookies have a chance to make more of an impact than I thought they would, especially after draft night where you're going, well, Mahomes is for the future ostensibly, and then how much are you going to get from this class to help you win in 17? There's more there than I thought. From a negative standpoint, I'm going to, and we can talk about it more tomorrow when we chat on a preview, but I think the offensive line needs to be better, all 16 of them. There's 16 guys in this camp, and I'll even include Anger. He's the 16th guy who hopefully will come back next week from injury. At least we'll have a visual of him. But the other 15, other than Larry Duvernay-Tardif and Mitch Morris, have struggled. They need to be better, quite honestly.
Who's the leader of that offensive line?
Well, the Canadian doctor is turning into it. Mitch Morris is more of a natural leader. They're all kind of quiet. Mitchell Schwartz is a very cerebral guy. Fish is Fish. I mean, I don't know how to – he's not a leader, rah-rah guy. The left guard is wide open right now. I mean, there's – I mean, now it's Witzman, but it could be somebody else. So you ask a great question. Sometimes you need a fire breather in there. Sometimes it's best to have that be the center because they're making all the line calls. They're kind of the quarterback of the offensive line. And I think Mitch Morris is growing into that role, but it's not something he does naturally.
You mentioned the rookie class and a guy we've talked a lot about, Tonneau Passignan. And you look across this rookie class, and as you kind of mentioned with Mahomes, there are a lot of guys who maybe you're excited about, but not necessarily for this year. How do you sell that to a team who's clearly at the top of the class in the AFC when you go get a draft class that may not help you right away?
Well, that's my point, though. These guys may help you right away. Passignan, so a surprise there, if you're going to micro it down with him, is they're right now they're putting him at full-time outside linebacker. I don't know if the NFL's ever had a 6'7", 300-pound outside linebacker, but he's going to play, I mean, inside some, but all of his reps in the last week and a half have been where Justin Houston or Dee Ford or Tamba Hali play. So it tells you what they're thinking about him on the upside. But originally, your question was one that I was kind of asking myself up until this training camp. And now I'm seeing it, hey, wait a minute, Kareem Hunt may help these guys win a game or two. And same with Passignan. Oligwe is another guy intriguing to watch on Saturday night. We'll talk more about him tomorrow because he's on my watch list. But there's some, yeah, there's just three or four guys that are going to help this team win. More than I thought there would be in July the 20th.
I think it was earlier this week when some of the players, I think Chris Jones was a guy who was commenting on Alan Bailey being back. I think he called him the Hulk. What have you seen from Bailey so far?
Ripping his shirt off and being green. I didn't know he was green. He's. I'm serious. And it's like, I thought he was mild-mannered from Sapelo Island, and then he just... So they can't keep a jersey on him, and you can't even see the 9-7. You kind of see the 9, but it's ripped, and then it's just torn right down the sternum. And I mean, then it's like, wow, he is the Hulk. What I've seen is the Hulk. He's back. If he's healthy, he's kind of the Spencer Ware of the defense or Dirty Dan Sorensen of the defense, the underrated guys that help you win. The Chiefs' run defense will be way better if Alan Bailey's healthy in 16. However, he's had trouble staying healthy. If you look through his career, he's had three or four. He's just missed some major time. It'd be nice to get him out there full tilt this year.
You mentioned him being one of the unsung heroes. Is that the way it's kind of always going to be in this defense, is whoever's at those DN spots might not get the credit they deserve?
Possibly, because they're asked to do kind of the two-gap stuff. They're asked to open the door for the linebackers. But then you run into a Chris Jones, and then you're thinking, well, wait a minute, maybe he's kind of Buck Buchanan-ish, and you turn him loose a little bit. I would say it's changed some, but generally you're right. It's more of a two-gap, but there's times now Bob Sutton's kind of rethinking it, especially if he's got a superb athlete up front that can just be a wrecking crew.
We're talking to the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, here on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. You mentioned that run defense, you feel pretty confident it's going to be better than they were a year ago?
I don't know. I was until then the Friday night game against San Francisco, and I know it was twos and threes, but even so, you want to get guys off the field. San Francisco still ran it at 5-2 a clip. And this Bengal team's got several different guys and can run it. One of the storylines, again, I'm teasing tomorrow, but Joe Mixon's on this team. And the controversial draft pick from Oklahoma, and, I mean, KU fans saw what he could do at OU.
Yeah.
And if he's running up and down a field on Saturday night, it's a problem. I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row. So I'm gonna leave that as an incomplete grade on that. I haven't seen it quite yet.
How can Benny Logan help in that regard?
Benny Logan's been a pleasant surprise, more powerful and explosive than I thought. Then I found out more about his toughness. He wore 18 at LSU. The story with that is that 18 is given to the LSU player, no matter the position, for the toughest guy on the team. And it started in 03, I believe, and so for the last 14 years, when now, I guess it's Ed Ogeron will do it now, but when they pass out 18, it is a badge of honor. And he wore 18 at LSU, so you can imagine what they thought of him. I didn't study him closely when he was Philadelphia, but watching him up close, he's another one of those explosive guys, going back a couple paragraphs, where you may not just keep him in a two-gap, or if he is in two-gap, he's throwing some dudes around like rag dolls and makes a key play, even when he's just playing gap control. So Benny Logan will help this team a lot.
Well, you start looking at that defensive line, and Benny Logan, people are excited about him. People are excited about Alan Bailey, and now you get to see Chris Jones up there too. That seems to be a position group that, if you want to be optimistic, you can get really excited about for this year.
And again, and I don't care if it's KU or K-State or Free State or LHS or Veritas. If you've got to be good up front defensively, and it's best if you can rotate. The Chiefs really played Dontari Poe more snaps than they wanted to. But because of injuries and lack of depth, the load became great on Dontari in 14 and 15 and 16. Right now, because of all the guys you mentioned, and I'm going to throw in a vastly improved, they call him Nacho, Raheem Nunez-Rochas, who was good against San Francisco last Friday night, you've got a really nice rotation. And you mentioned Logan and Bailey, and you throw in Jones, and then you've got Nunez-Rochas, and if Passanio comes in there on passing downs, you've got a chance not to just run guys into the ground. Jarvis Jenkins will be right on the bubble. He was good the other night against San Francisco. And if he's on the varsity, on the 53-man roster, that's a pretty good player to have as your 6th/5th DL. So there's some depth there. They're going to cut good players there, but they do have the best depth I've seen, for sure, under Andy Reid, and maybe since those really good defenses of Marty Schottenheimer's day.
Almost 2 weeks in, are we starting to see the depth chart solidify a little bit, or is there still quite a ways to go there?
Yes and no. In certain places, yes. Some places, it's still very fluid. Inside linebacker is, other than Derrick Johnson, I'm going to say that's just wide open. And, I mean, it looks like the front rows of a great concert. There's just a whole bunch of people there. And then the secondary, especially the right corner and the nickel slot position, because of injury, Terrence Mitchell, Steven Nelson, Murray to some extent can play in the slot, Philip Gaines. It's still kind of a revolving door there opposite Marcus Peters, and no answers yet for you on August the 17th at that right corner or slot nickel spot.
Well, you kind of led me into my next question about the depth of competition at that second inside linebacker spot. How many guys do have a legitimate chance at starting alongside DJ?
4.
Wow.
It's crazy. I know. We're sitting here at August. So right now, if it was, and this is the way they'll start Saturday, is Ramique Wilson, who's been okay. And he's made some impact plays in his first 2 years in the NFL. Fumble recovery, touchdown against Chicago. But he can't do it by himself. He's not a guy. He needs DJ. Once DJ was gone last year with the injury, Ramique really struggled. You go back to that playoff game against Pittsburgh where Le'Veon Bell was just kind of toying with him. Man, those linebackers struggled, both inside positions. Next, there's Josh Maga. People kind of forget about him. He had a big play against Oakland 2 years ago on a Derek Carr dumb decision. Last year, Maga missed the whole year because of injury. Bob Sutton has been around Maga for seemingly forever, all the way back to the Jets days. So he has got that going for him. Another guy that's been forgotten is Justin March Lillard. And he was kind of the flavor of the month in 15 in the preseason. Undersized, but played on a torn ACL in the Arizona preseason game in 15. Last year started, kind of got over Georgia Southern. He started at Florida State. before going to Georgia Southern can play both the Will and the Sam. And the Sam is the position we're talking about, and he's a fourth member in there too, the team. If he took charge, could be, you know, a three-down player over time once Derrick Johnson retires.
A guy we haven't talked much about since the Chiefs acquired him, Kevin Pierre-Louis, since we are talking linebackers, what have you seen from him thus far?
I was going to feature him next week, so ask me again about him next week. But we can talk about him tonight. He's very much involved. He is an upgrade. I know it sounds crazy. You trade a Pro Bowl special teams outside backer or inside backer and DJ Alexander, and you get KPL, Kevin Pierre-Louis. Arguably was the best player on the field for the Chiefs last Friday night. Not just the block punt, coverage and playing the run. Right now in the depth chart, he is number two behind Derrick Johnson. Is he a three-down player? Might be, meaning he can be out there on passing downs, run downs, don't have to sub him off the field. And what's more important about that and understood, and I haven't brought it up this year, is they wear the green dot on the helmet. That's why Derrick Johnson is so valuable. And the green dot is the one guy that the defensive coaches can talk to via radio, like the offensive coaches can talk to the quarterback. So your green dot is a DJ type. It never leaves the field. Knows all of your coverages. Can see the front and see the back. I can cover a back or a tight end. I can also play the run. So you've got to think of a replacement at some point for Derrick Johnson. Is that Akemi Oligwe? Is that Kevin Pierre-Louis? But the green dot linebacker of the future is a story.
We're talking to the voice of the Chiefs. Mitch Holt is here, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I like catching you on your toes the day before a game, and you've got an away game, so I'm not trying to rock get you off your rocker here, but nonetheless, we got to go full bore ahead.
And going to Cincinnati, which has been a bad spot for the Chiefs down through the years. The 9-0 Chiefs of 1969, the Super Bowl year, were derailed in Cincinnati. The 2003 Chiefs, 9-0, derailed in Cincinnati. So here we go back to a place that's not been kind to the red and gold.
All right, let's hope you don't get derailed. 48-0, technically 50-0. We'll see if you can keep that streak alive. First up, Quinter High School.
The Quinter Bulldogs, and they have had some good they've had some good players. It's just been finding a league for Quinter. And I'm not so sure they're not the like the Bouchards. The Bouchards, like Coach Bouchard of Volleyball KU, I think there's some tie-in maybe back to, I know Harold Bouchard, longtime sports writer, I was thinking was from Quinter. But anyway, good tradition out there in western Kansas.
You know who's from Quinter? My next-door neighbor actually used to be the mayor of Gove. I don't even think they have a mayor anymore.
Yeah, they got a mayor. It's the county seat of Gove County. It's like 100 people. Smallest county in the state of Kansas population-wise.
Wow.
And, yeah, absolutely. They got to have a mayor. They just got to have something. I just traveled through Gove. It was like, ooh, was that 2 years ago? Stopped, looked around, and go, wow, this is cool. They should have an NHL franchise here.
Field Kindley High School.
The Golden Tornado of Coffeyville Field Kindley. Gosh, they've had some good players. Mondrell Fulcher, I think, played for the Raiders. I'm going to leave some out here. I think we talked about Terry Beeson, former KU linebacker from there. Great tradition. We got to get them back. They've kind of slumped a little bit in Coffeyville. I know it's been a struggle for Montgomery County from an economic standpoint, but hopefully we'll get Coffeyville back up and running.
Hutchinson High School.
The Salt Hawks. Mentioned him yesterday when I spoke to the Nebraska Broadcasters Association because I said I'm the self-proclaimed nickname police of the Chiefs Kingdom. Now, Nebraska, I've mentioned some great, all of the kingdom has some great nicknames. The Orabs in Iowa, the Clinton River Kings in Iowa, Missouri, you'd like this one. The West Plains Zizzers.
Wow.
You got to like that
one. I like that a lot.
And I mentioned the Hutchinson Salt Hawks and the Heston Swathers. Nebraska may trump us all, though. They got some cool ones. That's a whole other discussion sometime. I'll get into Nebraska high school nicknames because I just did a whole partial presentation on them in front of the broadcasters in Lincoln. They kind of went nuts about it. But, the Salt Hawks, the great salt mines there in Hutch. It's a fascinating place geographically of all the stuff going on in Hutch. You're like, why is it all happening here? Because you've got this sage ground, and then you've got salt mines, and underground water. And anyway, yeah, the salt talk.
Last one for today, Highland Park.
The Highland Park Scots. I wish I knew the origin of this. I mean, I'm not reminded of Scotland when I go on campus. I like it. I love it. You know, I love Highland Park. Yeah. Kenny Darting had it rolling there. Kyle Weems, I think, came out of there from Topeka.
Yeah, absolutely.
And became a big-time player at Missouri State, led them to Missouri Valley Conference title. He's a top player overseas, and he played for the Scots. But, you know, I don't think William Wallace when I walk into Highland Park.
I don't either, man.
Going, where's all the Scottish people? I don't see it, but that's okay. It's a great place. Love that school.
Well, 4-0 again today, and now 52-0, technically 54-0 on the year. And we'll see if you can go two full weeks without a miss coming up tomorrow on a game day.
You know where you're going to get me tomorrow on a game day, because I'll be vulnerable on the road in Cincinnati and vulnerable. It's going to be one of those KU games. Oh, God, losing it. I don't know. Maybe the TCU game, the infamous 264-1 game. I don't know. I'll be very vulnerable tomorrow for the upset.
Well, you know, I know I'm not in a position to give you advice. You've been doing it for 24 years, but just a thought. Something that I do sometimes when I'm kind of stressed out, I'll go down, I'll visit my guy Bruce at 9th and Mississippi, and he'll just hook me straight up to an IV. He'll just pump that pizza sauce straight into my veins. Kind of cools me off a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, we all know he blew his cover. It's a front for being Ethan Hunt of Mission Impossible. We've done that at 9th and Mississippi.
Right.
We had all kinds of KU students looking around like, where is all that stuff? You know, and so yeah, just keep looking. Here's the thing. I'm going to go to Cincinnati. People keep talking about Cincinnati chili. I'm like, wow, this stuff's not even very good. And sorry if you're from Cincinnati and listening. So here's what I'm going to do. You know how you do the exchange things, like a bowl game?
Yeah.
I'm taking like 10 Papa John's pizzas with me on this trip from Bruce Collinsworth at 9th and Mississippi and presenting them to Cincinnati, but don't give me the chili. Just, you know, give me a Bengals helmet. I'll go bowling with it at Lawrence Bowling Lanes. But I'll just take these pizzas. It's just a gift from us with the unique Lawrence sauce from Papa John's. It's basically... also have some listening devices that we will infiltrate the Bengals facilities and tie the audio into the video from Hard Knocks of like 2 years ago.
I love it, man. I love it. Bring a little bit of Kansas culture with you when you go up to Ohio this weekend.
And a little espionage, just to keep it real.
There you go. He's Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Mitch.
See you, brother.